G'day, Warwick.
G'day, Coxie.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, listeners.
I was wondering whether you were going to say hello to the listeners or not. You're looking at me like you're poised for a really...
I was overwhelmed with trepidation.
Oh, you shouldn't be. You should be quite excited.
I feel like I'm about to embark upon an enormous journey of unknown destination, Nicole, with your joke.
No idea how good your segue just was. It was... I've actually written it. Are you ready?
Righto, fire away.
I did a bit of research on the weekend. Might surprise you. But did you know that dogs can't operate MRI machines?
Oh, I know where this is going. And no, I did not know that, Nicole.
But cats can.
G'day, I'm Woz.
And I'm Nick, sometimes Coxie, mostly Nick.
This is the Tradies in Business podcast, and we're here to share a bunch of tips, ideas, tactics that you can put in place to get change happening in your trade business right now.
If you're really lucky, we're going to entertain you with a few mum jokes, and more importantly, a bunch of fantastic guests that will educate you in all things you need to know about trade business, but we do promise to do it with a whole bunch of fun along the way.
I'm a self-confessed idiot, so strap yourself in and enjoy another episode. Oh my gosh.
How good was your segue?
I think it's...
Embark on a journey.
I know. I think it's worse when you know what the punchline is. It's like, oh, I can't believe I just fell into that one.
Oh, you have set me up perfectly. Thank you.
Hello, Tradies in Business. Welcome to another podcast episode. We have another guest today, which is always cool because it sort of stops Nick and I just dribbling and waffling and bouncing around 100 different directions for an entire episode. We can let our guests do that instead. So Ryan Wilson from a couple of different places, Free Trade Day and Terrigal Electrical. Welcome back to the podcast, mate.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Yeah, I think I had to chat to you guys probably a couple of years ago. Time flies, so yeah.
It does, especially when you're having fun as a Sparky driving your Lambo around, mate.
That's right. Yeah, plugging in extension leads, charge the people $1,000.
We were just joking at the jokes before we hit the record button about I wonder where this whole thing came from about electricians and, you know, wrapping up their paper cuts with $100 bills and instead of a Band-Aid and all this sort of stuff, like private choppers. Any idea where it came from, Ryan? Or was it you that started all that?
No, look, I think, like, you know, it's definitely got to have started from other trades that are just basically jealous. You know, generally, Sparky's a pretty good-looking guy. You know, the work isn't, you know, it's, you got to use your brain, not so much your brawn being a spy. So, you know.
Is there a particular trade you think might have started it, Ryan, if you had to pick one?
Well, I don't think the brickies or the concreters could actually upload a video, so it'd have to be the plumbers, eh? Only him, guys.
He looks very serious to me, listeners.
There's so many Sparky memes out there, you know, two blokes holding hands with a little pit hammer. So we
and they wouldn't even know what to do with the hammer either.
No, that's right.
You just use your cordless drill.
Well, hammers are just purely to, look cool for us. Mm.
Yeah, put a bounce off the concrete and catch and back into your nail bag thing.
Absolutely.
Anyway. All right, Ryan, and you're not one of those electricians though, mate. You don't drive a Lambo and you don't use $100 bills to tape up your paper cuts.
I'm still driving around in a a Hiatus. I did have a Hilux, but I'm a, you know, maintenance Sparky is my little jam in our company. And after a couple of years working in the office, my wife had enough of me sitting next to her, so I'm back out on the tools, which I love. I've got a bit of a shared role now, so I've been a couple of days and back out. It's sort of, I'm enjoying it at the moment.
Nice. My wife usually sends me out to go mountain bike riding or, you know, go play squash or something, but yours send you back out to be a maintenance Sparky.
That's right. Yeah. It gives you, like, I mean, when you're off the tools for so long, you can lose a bit of confidence as well. I remember that took 2 or 3 weeks for me to get that confidence back. Speaking, I've got, you know, got quite a lot of other staff that work for us. And some of those guys that have been with us for a couple of years had never seen me on a job. And here I am sort of telling them what to do. So you can imagine, you know, it's a bit of a respect level as well with you guys. I think if I don't like telling people what to do if I wouldn't do it myself, sort of thing. So yeah, now, you know, they see me out there slogging away with them, with my little pink hammer. Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's good. So the morale, that's helped the morale, and that's helped the cash flow as well, you know, because obviously I'm a big cost in the business as well. And I go okay in the office, but I'm probably a better Sparky, better talking to customers face-to-face than looking at all the numbers sort of thing. My wife's really good at that. So, yeah, then we've got something to talk about at the end of the day. You haven't sitting next to each other. So that's helped that out as well.
Great advice. You heard it here first. Thank you, Ryan.
Pleasure.
Ryan, you were sharing with us off air that you've had quite the journey in business over the last few years. COVID, of course, was more than a spicy cough. It was quite spicy for business as well. Do you want to share a little bit of what you were talking about with us prior to hitting record?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, obviously COVID's happened. You know, there was a part of that where businesses became locked down, and you know, I've got a sprinkling. A lot of business owners have a sprinkling of ADD, and that's exactly what I'm like. I love to keep busy. So, you know, through COVID, it was like a bit of a mental thing, like it was for everybody. You can lose your sense of identity a little bit. So I'm just sitting there like, you know, on the play. I don't play games or anything, but on PlayStation, I ran out of things to do. Luckily, we are an emergency business as well. So we have this aspect that, you know, people with no power and no hot water and that sort of thing. So, you know, I did have some things to do where I'm sure there was trades out there. And particularly, you know, this is nothing compared to the hospitality and tourism industries. They copped it a lot harder than what tradies did. But yeah, coming out of that, obviously when things opened back up, nobody could travel. So everybody decides to pour their money into their homes, renovations and whatnot. And so we were just so busy. And coming off the back of that, you know, I thought, oh, look, let's just hire people. So this bit, my business is probably, I think it's around about sort of 7, 8 years old now. And we... I got up to 24 staff. That was 12 months ago. Coming off the back of COVID, right? So busy. Anyway, that hype train of work straight away. We've got interest rate pressures. Everybody's doing the exact opposite. So it's just gone up, 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 up. Everybody's overcapitalizing. I'm seeing these young, you know, 20-year-old tradies buying $90,000 four drives. They're schmick. Don't, like, you know, I was jealous. Don't get me wrong. But I'm thinking in the back of my head, if things don't continue this way, you have to sell that car, basically. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, interest rates have strangled the life out of a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, straight away, people are only doing what it has to do. They're sort of sitting and waiting. And so I've got 24 staff, half of them were finishing in the middle of the day. We didn't have any work for anyone. And you can imagine your payroll, we had something around about $45,000 a week payroll. We might have only had 30 grand coming in. So your bank account's going down by 15 grand every week. Very stressful time. So we had to look at something and something quick before we pretty much went under. So how do you tackle that? Obviously, you just fire everybody, but that's not the answer. That's not sustainable, right? Then you're back to square one. So we did a bit of a mix. Obviously, I hustled. So I got in the office and I called a lot of new clients and I tried to, you know, grow the business a little bit, but that wasn't even enough to keep up with, you know, I think consumer confidence dropped by about 75%. So most businesses would have found that they had about 25% of the work coming in that they did in the, you know, after COVID part. So unfortunately, it's a really hard thing to do because as a boss, you know, I go down a pub with my boys and sort of mates of quite a lot of them. But there's a few guys that, you know, weren't performing that well as far as your numbers go. And I had to do something that was really difficult. I had to let some people go. And some of these staff had been here from day dot. Just because, you know, they've been here for a long time and you love them as a person, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are a good fit for your business now. And you really need to separate the emotions. Easy for me to say, it was very difficult for me to do. But yeah, I had to cut a bit of dead wood, so to speak. So we you know, got back down. So right now we're sitting at about 16, 17 staff. But I did tighten the belt. We pretty much got rid of about 10 staff. Couple left because I basically addressed the group and I said, look, you know, when you address the group, you don't want everyone freaking out. You don't want a huge walkout either. So I basically said, look at the economy. You know, people are not wanting to spend money. People are stressed out. So to look, everyone, you know, look for upsells, and you know, they could, a lot of them could read between the lines. So there's a couple of guys that left, which was made my job a bit easier. Lost a couple of good stuff too. So, and then the remaining guys, just got rid of a couple. And here we are. So we're sort of, I feel like it's starting to go back up again. But yeah, my advice is always, you know, things change. Growing slow is not a bad thing. But shrinking fast when you have to is crucial.
Yeah, and I think that's in any market change, and I'm old enough to have seen quite a few in business over the last few decades. And I think one of the big things that I've noticed, including my businesses, I started a business just as the GFC hit back in 2007, 2008. I've seen a lot of people hang on too long. You know, it's like, I don't want to let these people go. And I think a lot of it is avoiding the uncomfortable conversation, because that, strangely, is more scary to them and more stressful than the reality of clinging to team members and the whole ship going down with everybody.
Yeah.
And so they just delay that stuff too long. They hang on to vehicles too long. They keep the overheads for too long. You know, they're still buying lattes and pizzas and all that sort of stuff and not actually taking swift action, as you say, Ryan. Were there other things that you had to tackle, like some of those uncomfortable conversations or decisions in terms of keeping the thing going through that time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you look at two things, right? And naturally, you look at the staff and you think, I've got to keep everybody as efficient as possible. You know, you can't have people knocking off at midday because you're just not going to, you got to lose money on everyone. So we really honed in on like the staff and trying to keep them busy. We probably put the blinkers on a little bit, because what we also should have considered was our business overheads, because, you know, we had contracts in a lot of marketing, right? That didn't even pop in my head, but they're giving us terrible return on investment. I'm not going to name any names, but You've also got to look at how much does it your business costs to run on a daily basis, and is everything that the business costs you crucial?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think you've really got to tighten both sides. You look at your staff and the efficiency, and you know, is everybody covering their ass, so to speak, there? But then you've also got to look at yourself and go, like, for instance, we had this person come in that was purely a debt collector. He's actually one of my mates from school. He's a big 7 foot, 130 kilo giant. He didn't actually knock on anybody's door, but he had a very, very deep voice. So he wasn't like, he could get money out of people, but he wasn't sitting there making 50 calls a day like a real expert in that field would be doing. I just gave him a job because he needed one, and he was going okay. But that's an example of a business cost, right? He's not actually, well, he's bringing in a lot of money, but he's not out there making money. I've got a couple of office girls, and I thought, I'm going to get rid of him. And then I'm going to put that job onto the girls as well, because the phone's not ringing as much, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got to look at the girls in the office. All right, you guys got another job now, calling, you know, whether it be weekly or every second day. So I got rid of my mate. He was all good. We're still buddies. So now the girls ring around. Now, if anyone's getting late with a payment, I'll just give them a reminder.
I think it's about optimizing all parts of your business, Ryan. So you've correctly identified all of those areas that can be optimized very quickly. But as you said, you tend to get your blinkers on and focus on one area. But whilst we're focusing on one area, there's a lot that can quickly slip away. We talk a lot about having a dashboard and key sets of numbers that can help you understand how your overall business performance looks, because it should be that simple, right? In business, there should be a set of numbers that you can look at any particular time that are your gauge, so that you can understand that, yep, the business is performing. I've got enough leads, which means I'm going to have enough turnover. I'm tracking productivity, so I know that the team are doing what's necessary for our profit margin to be where it needs to be. But it's not, we're not taught any of these skills when we get our trade. It's something that quite typically we get into trouble, or we get to this point where we're just working our asses off, trying to make ends meet, to move us forward, to have all that flexibility and cash freedom that everybody talks about, and it's not happening. We get to that point, we put our head up and say, actually, I think I need some help. I don't know what to do here. So, Ryan, I'm really interested then, how did this become common knowledge for you and something that you were able to work on?
I'd never been to university or done any business studies other than in high school. Basically, my wife is, she's a pretty clued up sort of, we go to the accountant, I think we go 4 times a year, and he has a bit of a spreadsheet, right? And he's like, there's a lot on advertising, like a lot on advertising. And then we break that down and we'll see, okay, we're spending, it was like $1,200 a month with some mob. And when we looked at return on investment, we might be getting like 2 small jobs a month from them. So actually, that's an example of something that we had cut straight away. Just like, you know, luxurious items. The other thing too is like, you know, Google AdWords. So if by chance you get busy, you want to be able to turn them off like a tap. Don't just forget about all these little, you know, a lot of them are really good, don't get me wrong. But you've got to have some monitor on your return on investment. So if you particularly your marketing and that sort of thing, what I found was best marketing is free marketing. Like our social media, for example, we got quite a lot of followers, and there might be, you know, a couple of serious type posts. We're talking about technology and that sort of thing, but the majority of our posts that go viral are, you know, a little bit humorous, or it's getting to know our staff in the business. And so, you know, that's where most people sort of see CDRs, and that's where we get a lot of our work from, through social media. And we also backlink it. We've got quite a few community groups up on the Central Coast, so we will backlink it in a few community groups, and that's all free. So, and it's a lot more effective for us than other marketing that you might have to pay a lot of money for.
Ryan, are there any other business lessons you've really tripped over in the last few years? I think, well, the first time we spoke to you, we didn't talk about your business at all. We spoke about the other half of what we'll talk about today. So I'm really interested to hear some of these lessons that you have learned. I just wonder if there were others that you haven't identified yet.
Oh, look, I am absolutely learning every day. So I'm not gonna pretend that I know everything. But yeah, it's like the thing that probably since last time I spoke to you, I purely ran up my gut. And, you know, if I saw a staff member working hard and are a good bloke, surely they're good for the business. But the biggest thing is actually learning your numbers.
Yep.
So it is simple, right? So I run off a program called ServiceMate, and for each of my staff that go out and do work, we tag the job with their name. So at the end of the month, their turnover comes in. You know, what do all of their invoices calculate to? And we take out their expenses. So that'll be things like their pay and their petrol and all the material they have bought for their jobs.
Yep.
But anything that is their cost. And that basically gives you a figure how efficient they are. And it was very surprising because some of the guys that I thought were really good were getting paid more than they were bringing in.
Yep.
And, you know, it might not be their fault. Mm-hmm. It could be the type of work. So, you know, we're trying to work out how to help people as much as, you know, identify issues with the business. That might be, you know, it could be a particular staff member, or it could be a type of work that we're doing that's not very profitable. Like, for instance, we did air conditioning for quite a while, which is just, it's just so easy because I had this aircon bloke, he was also a sparky, and he'd whack in a couple of split systems a day. Super easy. Like, so we book him two jobs, and the business probably makes $250-$300 profit a job, easy. But then what we didn't realize is probably one in five, this might be really bad stats, one in five or one in six, there might be a technical problem with it. And so he's got to go back and fix it. He wasn't the best at communicating either, this guy. So we did a lot of work in concrete units, and he didn't explain to them that there was going to be this big beige duct running across there. And so they're like, no, rip it. And he's like, well, it was the only way to do it. So so, you know, if one in six we've got a problem with where we've got to go back and fix it or rip it out, benefit comes not that good, right? So, yeah, sometimes you've got to zoom out a bit as well, look at the big picture. And this staff member who has moved on works so hard, top bloke. His weakness was communication, and wasn't worth me pursuing that because of, you know, we zoom out, we look at the corner, and we're spinning the wheels, booking him all of this work, and at the end of the day, the profit was so small.
Yep,
that wasn't worth us going down that path.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes it's more than just the surface number. And I think a lot of us are just, well, we're busy. We've got lots on our mind. We look at something and go, yeah, he's making me money. $250 a job. That's sick. That's great money. But like you say, there's other things to consider. Or the amount of times we hear from trade business owners that, yeah, my Google Ads is great. You know, we're getting a few calls a day. So, yeah, how many of those are turning into jobs, and how much are those jobs worth, and how profitable are they, and how much are you spending on your Google Ads? Like, there's more steps to it than just the surface level. And I think it's dangerous to be so busy that you feel like you don't have time to actually do that investigation.
Yeah.
Because then you're missing, as you pointed out, mate, you got up to 24 staff, you know, there's work coming in, and I think it breeds a bit of complacency, to be honest. You look at sporting teams, you know, they're always winning, they're always at the top of the ladder, and it's hard for complacency not to creep in. And we often see teams or athletes come crashing down from their pedestal, and everyone goes, what happened? And the first thing they do is sack the coach, because like, I must be the coach's fault.
Always.
Which is ironic. Coxie and I are sitting here as business coaches. And the coach has probably been screaming at everybody all season or for the past three seasons, like, don't lose your, you know, don't lose your edge. Like, just because we're winning doesn't mean you can take the foot off. It's like, yeah, whatever, coach. We're the best.
That's right.
Anyway. So some great lessons in there, mate. Curious to, and it's not necessarily part of marketing. I don't want to claim that charitable work is just a blatant way to grow our businesses. But you do a fair bit of stuff in the community. You used that term before. Talk to us a bit about what's been the journey for Free Trade Day. Like, your business has gone through this kind of evolution. What's happened with Free Trade Day through that time?
Oh, look, so...
Yeah, Free Trade Day, and I spoke to you guys about this. I feel like it was more like 3 years ago. It's this day, for people that don't know what Free Trade Day is. Basically, so it started on the Central Coast of New South Wales. There was an elderly gentleman that phoned me up. He had a light fitting that was flickering. It was driving him nuts, and I went out there, and he was a war veteran, 96 years old, and his living conditions were not good. So he had, you know, cockroaches running around his house, and that was the only light that was working in the house. And he went on to tell me that he hadn't had hot water for 6 months, didn't have any family around. So I naturally declined the cup of tea because, lovely bloke, but it wasn't into the roaches. But I sorted his hot water for him and a couple of other lights and had a good chat to him, and made me feel really good. His hot water tank, it was so old and so rusty. So Sparky's will know what I'm talking about, but I had to get this rusty element out of his tank, and somehow I was able to do it. But I've said to him, you need a new hot water tank, right? So I said, I don't know how long this is going to last. But anyway, he called me about 3 weeks later, and he said, mate, I just wanted to let you know, that was life-changing. You know, he had really bad arthritis. He said, having those hot showers through, it was actually, I think it was July I was doing this job. So he was having cold showers through the middle of winter. And he said that it's really helped him feel better, helped his arthritis and that sort of thing. But he said, but mate, my hot water's gone again. Can you come around again? I said, no. Look, you unfortunately, you got to call a plumber. And that was the last time I spoke to him. Then, weirdly enough, I had a job across the road a couple of weeks later. And I thought, I better go make sure he's gotten onto a plumber. And there was a removalist truck at his house. And unfortunately, this is a sad part, I found out he passed away. And so I'm laying in bed that night, pretty much in tears about this fella, like that I flicked him. And so I think it was that night I went on social media and I said, okay, on Friday, my crew, there was me and four other blokes that worked for us. We are going to do a day for free on Friday. So if you don't have anybody struggling, let us know, because we're just going to run around and give everyone a hand. People who can't afford, tradies, or, you know, people living without essential services like power and lights and that sort of thing.
Mm.
Anyway, I woke up the next day and my phone's just going viral. It had something like 350 shares, and I had local radio stations calling me up going, are you the tradie that's working for free? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh geez, what have I started here? So, you know, it definitely didn't start off to be anything like a marketing ploy or anything. Then Koshi from Sunrise knocking on the door before I had a coffee, that was great. I remember they put an earpiece in and they're talking to me and I could hear in the earpiece, they're like, stop looking down the barrel of the camera, you look really awkward. So Channel 7 backed it, and then from there, so just on the Central Coast, I think the first year, we organised this free trade day event in 4 days. I think we ended up having 50 or 60 trade businesses on the Central Coast. And I loved it. It worked out really good. We helped so many people, so many tiers from recipients and tradies, because all of these tradies all of a sudden had a real sense of worth, you know. I'm lucky enough with my job. I get a lot of thankful people every day, but there's a lot of tradies that might just work on luxury, for instance, you know, for a snotty-nosed beachfront resident that just screams at them all day. Yeah, we've all been there.
Fortunately, none of those are listening to this podcast.
That's it. So, but the trainees to realise they've learned things that can change people's lives, I think was a massive impact. And then, you know, from there, I had all of these random people ring me out from Western Australia, South Australia. You guys are in South Australia, aren't you?
No.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Rizzy and Tazzy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Cool.
Both in Rizzy when we spoke to you.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had a lot of people call me and they wanted to start a free trade day event. I was just like, yeah, sure, just go for it. So, anyway, we ended up the following year, we ended up having 5-6 different events, Northern Beaches, Kalgoorlie at Western Australia, Adelaide, Brizzy. Anyway, they all wanted a piece of me, all of these people. Like, how do I do this? How do I do that? And so I was like, all right, I'll ring up my most talented mates and we started a charity. And then my mates got over it pretty quick because we thought it would be, you know, fun, but it's not. It's all this way. We pretty much had to turn into lawyers to work out how to write a constitution. And anyway, that ended up being a nightmare. And it got there was a lot of risk on us as well, right? So if we get tradies out under the free trade day banner and they, you know, do something to somebody, injure ourselves or whatever. So we really opened ourselves to a lot of risk with the name of free trade day. How do we keep the quality up, blah, blah, blah. And you just can't do it when you scale like that. So fast forward to now, I have created a partnership with Lions Australia. Mm. So the Lions clubs, right?
Nice.
There's typically, you know, 10, 15 elderly people sitting around a table having a beer. But a lot of these guys are CDOs, corporates, tradies, they're all retired. They've all got a lot of time. So they are going to help us now scale it. So it's I'm no longer the owner of Free Trade Day. I'm just the founder. And the Lions are now owners of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that is going to... So it started on the Central Coast and the Lions are growing it like ringwork. Through New South Wales at the moment. And look, if any tradie out there is, you know, interested in doing free trade day, like not only does it make me feel good, it actually really does your business some huge favors as far as the public see your business as, right? Because everybody now thinks about our business and all the other businesses that did free trade day as a kind, generous, trustworthy company where we're not just chasing dollars, where we are working for the best interests of people and we care. And it's good too for all those tradies that a lot of tradies do love jobs all through the year. Now you have an excuse You only have to do it once a year.
Sorry, mate. A lot of tradies are doing love jobs every day of the week because they don't know their numbers, like we were just talking about before. Yeah,
I know. That's right. Yeah, exactly. So, look, if the tradies are keen, I would just suggest to contact your local Lions Club, wherever you're from, and whether they can get pick do an event this year or next year. Keep your eye on Free Trade Day. We've got like a Facebook page. Yeah, it's really powerful stuff, and we love doing it. And yeah, so this year I'm on Better Homes and Gardens in May doing it. Had Joanne Griggs out filming the day, and yeah, like that was an amazing day. I was on a job, so there's something like 200 jobs going on. On my particular job, we helped a lady out and her husband, like pretty young lady too. She would have been like early 50s, something like that. And she had a teenage son, a couple of teenage boys, and her husband was fully fit, but just randomly had a heart attack and died middle of the night, only 3 or 4 weeks before. And he was some sort of trading. He sort of half started heaps of stuff around the house. And like, they weren't super financially stuffed, these guys, but she was just in a tailspin hard. And her eldest son got caught graffitiing a bus. Like, it's very out of character apparently for him. So obviously it's a reaction to his dad dying. And so she got nominated by a friend, and we have a little bit of an insight as to the story, as much privacy as they're happy to share with us. And she was happy to share that. And so that's why we took this one on, because, you know, it's hitting one of the categories, you know, people that can't afford it or people that have gone through personal hardship. So it was a really big mental boost for her. And there's another job actually on Better Homes and Gardens, like a couple of unexpected people. We ended up getting a team of like 20 painters in, painted their whole house, redid their deck. There's a big one. I wasn't on that, but I'm keen to see it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Interesting to see the evolution of something like that. And I think big ups to you, Ryan, for recognizing that for that to continue, you know, it had to go somewhere beyond you and your mates for it to actually carry on. So it's awesome to hear that Lions have picked that up and obviously have the resources and the capacity to keep that rolling. So I think for me, mate, listening to you today, there's probably a lot of humility and wisdom from, interesting, you think early 50s is pretty young, so yes, I reckon you're awesome. You're my new best mate, Ryan.
But, I'm 40 in a couple of months, so yeah, 50 really, yeah.
So I'd class you as a young bloke. So for a young bloke like you to have that level of humility and wisdom with your business journey and also with the charity that you kicked off, I think that's to me stands out, mate, and I think that's a really important thing that a lot of business owners perhaps don't discover until they're much older. And I think it's an important thing to get you through tough times, essentially, is having the ability to stand back and just go, okay, well, what's actually best here? And perhaps not for self, but for the long-term future of an organization. So well done, right?
Thanks, Wallace.
No, I really appreciate that. Yeah, that's right. So it's about your branding and what image you want to project. And obviously, you know, you don't make any money doing Free Trade Day. The whole point is to do a day for free.
Mm.
Or you can actually do as little as 2 hours, because I know times are tough for tradies too. Mm. So if we've made it so, yeah, you can give up as little as 2 hours on the day. And yeah, that's right. Helping people makes you feel really good. And for all of those trade business owners, if you want to motivate your staff and give them a kick up their ass and show them what it's like to be living in some of these situations that we see, It's so good for perspective. Your staff will come back to work next week just pumped. You'll get your money back. Don't you worry about that. So it's a good thing.
Yeah. Great point, mate. Great point. Well, Ryan, great to have you back on the podcast, mate. It's nice that it's a nice story that you've come through the other side of adversity. I'm kind of glad we didn't talk to you when you were, you know, in the thick of laying off staff and cutting overheads and doing all that stuff. Might have been a different tone to the episode, but always good to talk to people after they've had the hard lessons.
Yeah, no, that's it. You
just got to separate that emotion. And you know what? I'll just leave on. People respect the truth. Hey, and you tell, look them in the eyes and you tell them how it is. They respect it. They're still going to be your mate after it if you develop that sort of culture in your business. You don't want to sink the ship. You got to look after yourself. People respect you telling them the truth, how it is, and your numbers don't lie. That's what I'll leave on.
Nice, mate. Couldn't have summed it up better than a business coach, Ryan. Well, mate, thanks again. No doubt your journey from here will be peppered with more learnings and more successes, mate. So thanks for your abundance today, Ryan.
Thank you so much, guys. And I look forward to chatting to you guys again down the track. Hey, pencil in late October, because that's when the free trade day is kicking off. So I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Nice, thanks, mate. Ryan.
Okay. See you guys.
Derek.